The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey, kids, do you like professional wrestling? I like professional wrestling. I am Jeff Hawkins. This is Shake Them Ropes for the week ending Saturday, October 23rd, 2022. Joining me as always, Chris Novembrino. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Jeff.
Also joining us for a grand return, Bobo the Wonder Chimp has reared his ugly head here, carrying what looks like two big brass balls in his hands and just mocking me incessantly. Bobo the Wonder Chimp, as you know, stock picker extraordinaire, mocking your boy Jeff for not playing DWAC. Looking at it at 9, thought it was going to be shorted to 6. 2 days later, pops to 175. I just went. And Bobo's here in his gold Lambo, just looking at me, just shaking his damn head.
I think you might have buried the lead. Someone else is making a big return tonight.
Oh, no. Canny.
Shake them ropes.
WWE apologist, Canny? Is that what is what?
Wrestling enthusiast, Canny. And also, it's a bit of a stand-up comedian. A bit of a comic.
Solid 7 from Canny. Are we going to be getting that?
Working on it, but doing a little bit of topical humor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
David Brenner over here. Oh, well, I suppose I have that to look forward to. We are sponsored this week by MyBookie and HelloFresh. More on them later. I guess, where do we want to start this week? Because there's not headline news per se, but there is news to be had. Let's start with the oldest thing first. A lot of people talking those ratings on Friday, Chris, between SmackDown's overrun on longer show on FS1, virtually tying the demo with AEW's Rampage. I view this as a lot of nothing, but apparently this is quote unquote important to some people. Here's why I don't view it as important. Yeah, sure. FS1 gets ratings for one thing, baseball. That's it. That's the list. Otherwise, nobody watches that damn network. And it was on a network different than, and SmackDown was on a network different than its normal show. So I didn't get all the hubbub about people bragging and this segment beat that segment, blah, blah, blah. I understand we want, and I'm with people there for the most part. I want somebody to punch Vince McMahon in the mouth. Don't get me wrong. I do.
Look, let's even go further then and say that what Tony Khan and AEW are doing right now very much is a punch in the mouth to Vince McMahon. And we have seen a number of reactions to Tony Khan and AEW, not the least of which is a complete and total restructuring of NXT. That is very much I just got punched in the face.
Yes, it is. You are exactly correct on it. Yes, NXT taking its ball and going home and running and virtually blowing up its show is a big win for AEW.
My butt here is that I find so much of the week-to-week discourse around these numbers, these ratings numbers, to be very silly. Because it's always about who won the week, and very seldom is there a conversation getting equal amounts of bandwidth on Twitter, equal amounts of time on the air about the 2-month, 3-month outlook, or, you know, like looking back, what are the numbers looking like over the last 2 to 3 months, which I think is a much more earnest discussion and a much more useful discussion. And I also think you can have the conversation about ratings performance separate from, is AEW Dynamite and Rampage a better 1-2 product punch than SmackDown and Raw? Spoiler.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
It is. It totally 100%.
For anybody saying I am on the WWE payroll or whatever, I enjoy Dynamite and Rampage far more.
Rampage is like such an easy watch. It is so fun.
No, this show was started because the lane and voices was for WWE centric with some stateside interest. And that's what we were doing here. Here's my other thing. My other thing about the discourse was about all these wrestler / Tony Khan interviews in the press, and especially Roman Reigns' comment that AEW has a certain ceiling to it while WWE plays more to the casuals. I think he's half right, at least. I think WWE does play to a more casual fan base, a more family-friendly, toned down on the violence, dopey stories, dopey comedy. You bring your kids to there to do the sing-alongs and do the different chants, and they still get to watch wrestling, but WWE's always been like this. It's always been kind of wrestling for dumb people, in my opinion.
Or like wrestling as an adult event. So like there is
no wrestling as a family event, not an adult event.
No. But like they also use it for corporate, like if you ever sit in the lower bowls and stuff, there it's not diehard fans. There are diehard fans in the lower sections, but in a lot of cases, you're sitting among people who are there for office related things and they don't even know what's going on in the show. In a lot of cases, some of the best seats in the house are being occupied by people who are not particularly interested in what's going on one way or the other.
I mean, and I tell this story a lot, and I apologize for those who are longtime listeners, but for new listeners, you know, I used to go to events and I'd go to the takeover the night before and I'd go to the big event the next day, and those crowds are night and day, and they were, because NXT was trying to go into what is now the AEW audience, the indie off audience, the work rate wrestling, whatever you wanted. It was a lot of, you know, people were fans of Japanese style, people were fans of old style, whatever, while WWE was a far more, you know, casual mom's there to root for Natty and the kids are there to root for their favorites and whatever type of thing. And it's, I don't think this is a bad thing. I don't. I think I kind of like having two different audiences for wrestling for the most part. The problem is Roman right in that there is a ceiling for AEW? And I think that's possible.
Yeah, but like there's a
possible
ceiling for all of wrestling.
Yes,
I was making the faces.
Yes.
I was making.
No, you're
the
exactly
faces
correct.
Right.
You're exactly correct.
There's a ceiling, and that ceiling seems to be dropping. I know that that's
1.5. There are 1.5 million fans tops of professional wrestling in the United States.
And 5 to 10 years ago, there were 2.5 million. So I don't know, like.
And 15 years ago, there were, you know, 80 million fans or whatever it was, you know, back during the Attitude Era when it was one of the highest rated things to be seen. It's just, yeah, it's
and I've a made different
this,
thing.
I've
it's
made this argument
thing
as well. It's possible that on the whole, if you look through it from a macro timeline, wrestling may have just outlived its usefulness with things like reality television and MMA and things that do pro wrestling better than pro wrestling does at times.
Yeah, I mean, and you even now have this new sort of B-level boxing league stuff. Where
yeah,
it's a,
celebrity
yeah,
boxing. So you can get your kicks on the violence there.
Yeah, there's promo. You're more likely to believe that that guy's really punching that guy. Like, oh, but he really did punch him. You do kind of get your kayfabe back in these sort of worked fight things. I'm with you. I just think that maybe wrestling is competing against a much broader market of things now. And it's also these stars of today who I like. I mean, and you know, the real star of the last decade here, Bryan Danielson. I mean, he is, and he would even say this himself, so I don't think I'm like being, you know, mean or, you know, unfair to Bryan Danielson. I love him. He's a fantastic wrestler. he's not The Rock or Stone Cold Steve Austin in terms of the character work that is necessary to connect with millions and millions and millions and millions. That being said, like, yes, the Yes Movement in 2013, the way it resonated with was the San Francisco Giants?
That's
a baseball team. Yeah,
yes,
there we go. There we are. That was
an
thing.
Evil, vile baseball team, but yes.
Okay. I'm not here to cast aspersions.
I'm sorry, I'm a little sore. The Dodgers just got eliminated, but please continue.
I believe they're a National League team.
You are correct.
Nice. Yeah, there we go. I know some baseball. So anyways, Bryan Danielson able to connect with like a broader market, but like not at the same level as Austin or Rock. And like, that's okay. But it's the same thing with Roman Reigns. Like he's nice. He's a nice wrestler. He's not The Rock. And I think he's never going to be The Rock. And that's okay. I think he probably could be better than what he is, but he's fine. But there's a ceiling on Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I really look at this as a projection thing.
Yeah. Kota Ibushi out for a while, getting a little New Japan news mixed in with your grabs during the G1 finals, did a Phoenix Splash and dislocated his shoulder. Match was stopped. Your winner, Okada. You invest all that time watching the G1, and he's going to be out for a while. There were thoughts he might be part of this Forbidden Door policy that might come into AEW. Those plans, if any, now on the schneid for a bit. Any thoughts on Kota Ibushi's injury, or did you see it?
I hope he gets well soon. With regards to it, no, I hope he doesn't recover.
Low bar there, Chris, but yeah, okay.
Yeah. With regards to the G1, look, Jeff, I think that a journey is not about the destination, but the trek.
I try and watch it every year, and by day three, I'm like, I'm already behind. Screw this.
You and I talked about this, I think, off air. Yeah. And my thing with the G1, I do like it. I like the round robin format as a way of telling stories. And so there are years where the G1 has been really quite good. But it really requires the entire New Japan roster to kick a lot of ass. And they are slowly starting to rebuild, but they've got a ways to go before they can kind of get back to where they were, you know, 2011, 2012, 2013, for me, at least.
Kylie Rae canceling bookings this weekend and next to focus on her mental health issues, which she says have reoccurred, and also in part due to her coping with stress with drugs and alcohol, or at least marijuana and alcohol. I'm going to be unpopular here, and I'm fine with this. Once I'll give it to you. When this is now three or four times that this has happened with mental health issues, and I am empathetic to people with mental health issues. And at the same time, I'm also empathetic to there are people relying on you to make money. There are people relying on you to have a good, when they market you in a match, your opponent is counting on part of that house to come in, all these other things. If it's the wrestling business that is causing your stress, and God knows it might be, because I believe her fiance is a wrestler. She's been in wrestling since, I believe, 17. If it's the stress of the industry, no matter how good you are, maybe it's time to become an accountant or get another job somewhere else where you're not going to have these types of negative stimuli in there. And I feel the same way also about, quite frankly, the Kyrie Irvings and the Ben Simmonses of the world, because a little bit. It's one of those things where I just think of those two as, I think they want the money, but they don't want to play basketball anymore in some ways.
Right. Like, how much of the Irving thing is actually about Irving's stances, and how much of it is just Irving has kind of a long
I don't think
history.
Irving's wanted to play in six he, years, to be
yeah,
honest.
Yeah, right, right. He has a long history of not really showing, let's say, competitive
and
fire.
And it's a bad apples-to-apples comparison with Kylie, who is, she from all accounts, is just an absolute sweetheart. But if this business is what is making you miserable, and here's where I can come in, comedy made me miserable in every way. It made put me in a bad headspace. It made me uber competitive with people I should have been calling friends. You know, I'd walk into a club and I go, I'm funnier than all of you, piss off kind of thing. And I gave off that vibe quite a bit because I was always just really concerned of my career and my things. And she's not like that at all. I get that. But whatever is going on here, somebody needs to be some tough love here and tell her, look, go away until the issues are resolved. And hey, we'll be here when you're ready. But this can't be a dip your toe in the water type thing. It has to be you're either all in or all out type of thing at this point, because this has now happened 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, I think you've kind of talked me into your position here, too.
Oh, no.
I think I agree with you on this, because this is wrestling, especially independent wrestling, is different than the employer-employee relationship many of us have in our employment situations. So with a wrestling promotion, you know, a promotion sort of makes it seem like, oh, okay, this is a federation. It's not a federation. It's actually like a tool that promotes a match that happens between person A, business person A, and business person B. Because the match has worked, right? Like, we know this is not like actually like a real versus match. Like, this is a worked encounter between these two people done at this federate, done on the stage, essentially in the theater of this, you know, theater, you know, GCW, let's call it, you know, and it's a ring, but that it's essentially, it's a play. Everyone implicitly has to trust that you're going to be there. And like, I am with you. Like, look, the first time, if you show back up and you're like, oh, I didn't realize I wasn't ready yet, I think that that's an honest, reasonable
thing. I'll give you that second time too. Yeah.
You'd be almost a monster to feel any other way. But I think before you kind of like re-rack and decide you want to roll it back out there again for the third time, you need to be able to look the other people in the eye and go, you can trust me. And essentially, you can betray someone's trust unintentionally. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to sound like when I say you can't trust Smiley Kylie, that's going to sound like malicious, and I don't mean it like that.
No, you mean her head's not in the game completely.
Right. I mean, yes. Like, it's sort of like if I go to pass her the ball, it hits her in the face. That's what I mean when I say you can't trust her.
Yes.
And that is dangerous. That's bad.
If you have me up for a suplex, I don't want you thinking how depressed you are right now, kind of thing.
Right. And there are other wrestlers. Like, there are certain wrestlers who are fairly notorious, like if you go and take a dive on the outside, and some of those we might say are malice too, if you go and take the dive on the outside, they're not necessarily gonna catch you.
Hold on, I need to sneeze. Miss. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And like that what I would say would be malice here. Yeah. This is not malice, but this is at the same time still resulting in a scenario where you can't trust on day one what Kylie is going to say on day 15.
Yeah.
Because you might get weeks into promoting a match when you could have taken a match with someone else, somewhere else, and maybe even made more money. You decided to work the Kylie match, and because you're working the Kylie match, now you're not doing any work whatsoever. Like, in that sense, it is doing real injury. Like, you know, financial injury is real injury. So I'm with you. Like, I do think that, like, I want her to get well. I want to stress that, like, explicitly. Mental health is really serious. Mm-hmm. It's really serious. I have lost friends due to their mental health issues not getting addressed in a timely manner. I really want everyone to do that and prioritize that. At the same time, like, you know, I also think that it's time to maybe put the have someone go and have the talk with Kylie, like, look, until you can look everyone in the eye again and go, I'm good, I got this, I'm gonna be here for this match, you can book
it
me
is a
this.
Team sport in some yeah, ways in it which is hey team sport. We need you to be there for the team, and if you're not there for the team, we got to move on for a bit.
I mean, if like, okay, another way to think about, like, you know, in my world, if this is the bass player in my band, of course I would feel some loyalty to the bass player of my band. Like, you know, we've been doing shows and everything, but at a certain point, if I can't trust that you're going to make gigs, I'm going to need to get another bass player.
Yes.
At least until I know that you can make gigs again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And believe that you can make gigs rather than hearing you say you can make gigs.
Right. Right.
Rounding up our news, Macy Estrella Kadiak, I think that's how you say it, or Kadiak, 31, a.k.a. Lacey Evans, had her second child, decided to give birth at home because she felt she had wanted her daughter to be there and there would be restrictions on her husband if they gave birth in a hospital. Vaccine. so she gave birth in a recliner at home. It's going to be a different world when she comes in because we got a lot to talk about later. But yeah, congrats to her. Before we get into the other news of the week and other things, I want to give a shout out to our first sponsor, MyBookie. When it comes to gambling, you always want to make sure you're getting the best bang for your buck. That's why you should bet with MyBookie. MyBookie can bet on all your favorite sports with exclusive promotions, contests, and more to find your winning bet. Right now, when you make your first deposit with MyBookie, you'll instantly receive double your first deposit. It's easy. All you have to do is go up to mybookie.ag, sign up, use my promo code ROPES, and MyBookie will double your first deposit instantly up to $1,000.
That's your promo code?
That is my personal
that's your
promo, promo code.
It's your promo code. Your promo code is ROPE. Yeah. That's your, yeah, wow. That's mine. And that's mine too. I could use ROPES if I wanted to, which is the promo code to get double your money for when you do the entry.
How's that for fast money? Use your extra funds to bet on this week's biggest games, including the battle between the Chiefs and the Titans, where airmail offense takes on smash mouth football. Look for the score to run up quickly. Bet the over. I think that game already happened. This promotion is only available for a limited time, so don't miss out. Head to mybookie.ag. Use my promo code ROPES, R-O-P-E-S, and secure double deposit bonus today.
That's his promo code.
That's our promo code, Mr. Hand. That's promo code ROPES, so you can double your funds to double your winnings. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with my bookie.
Use his promo code.
Let's go in order then. Crown Jewel.
Thank you. I'm glad that you chose the order of Crown Jewel here, because I have a new rule, Jeff. Last week you rolled out your rule about NXT. I'm still gonna watch it, but I am done watching Raw on weeks that there is a network event or whatever, because they have become absolutely pointless, like a pointless 3 hours where if there's anything of you, someone will tell me about it or not.
Allow me to go in my head for a second, which is a messed up place full of arcane references and dumb songs that nobody likes and things like that. I was thinking, let's go in order between Crown Royal and whatever the hell this SmackDown title exchange.
Crown Royal. All right. Let's go.
Jeff's drinking a little bit. No, Crown Jewel. Jeez. Crown Royal, not a sponsor, but we'll certainly take their sponsorship. Crown Jewel and that debacle on SmackDown between Becky and Charlotte, which is now news. Because it's no longer rumors and innuendo. I have further information on that. But Crown Jewel, if you're going to watch one pay-per-view that takes place in a bloodthirsty regime, where they...
They say it's Riyadh season.
Despite all the jokes, it's just a fun pay-per-view to watch at times. Because it focused on the positive throughout most of it before doing the screw job finish in the main event. They didn't have a lot of screwy crap before that that made you upset everything. They gave people Xavier Woods, King of the Ring, did not see that coming at all. the Queen's Crown Tournament took a total of 20 minutes about. Zelina Vega beating Doudrop there. The triple threat. Pretty good match between all the women. I thought this show overall was a lot of fun. Here's the other thing. I buried the lead a bit. best Goldberg match, probably, other than the Lesnar trilogy and the La Parca squash, which will always hold a high place in my heart, I think. But over
the I think you have to understand what Crown Jewel is and what it isn't. What it isn't, we riff about a lot, which is an ethically clean and squeaky feel good about how you are feeling as you're watching the whole event sort of thing. What it is a decently well done nostalgia show that is playing regularly to a house that is pretty excited to see the show that they're getting, and that always helps. And because this is a high paid event and a high paying event and an important to WWE business event, they make sure that the work on the show is up to a certain level, and the work has been there. Edge and Seth Rollins, I thought, was pretty darn good. Yeah.
Let me piggyback on your statement, because what Saudi Arabia wanted was they wanted a WrestleMania level event. And the first year, they tried with this stupid largest Royal Rumble ever with a bunch of quote, and really from the reports, if you remember, they wanted Yokozuna and the Ultimate Warrior, both of whom no longer taking calls. It was a bit of a mess. It wasn't very good. They did the cheap heat segment with Iran, the Iranian flag, and Arya Davari, as you recall, and wasn't very good, to be honest with you. And there was a lot of anger coming from both parties about that. The next year they came back, they held a pretty, I would say, decent card. I wouldn't say great card, but of course that was marred by the fact that you had a plane on the runway being held hostage for a number of hours after the show, while certain senior management and stuff got to fly out of the country of their own accord. It was a show. It was a decent show, but it wasn't anything to write home about. I think this was the year they got it right. They just decided to load up on all these gimmick matches and all these things and a few big names, but not all big names necessarily in terms of nostalgia.
Right, right. They made sure to balance out the nostalgia with the work.
Yes.
So yeah. So you don't have Undertaker and Hunter and HB Shizzle trying to, you know, get it going one more time because there's a big Saudi payday going on here. I think they have a good formula for what they're doing there. Do I get the warm and squishies about what they're doing there? Absolutely not. I'm just judging.
Oh, you get the squishies about what they're doing there.
Look, here's the thing. MBS is reforming Saudi Arabia. We're now about 5 years in, and I think you can see that.
Is that sarcasm, I take it? look, here's the weird thing to me is that you watch this, and there was a Raw like this earlier, or maybe it was another pay-per-view, and I forget what it was, but it's like, they can do crowd-pleasing stuff. They can make you happy if they want to. You can see the stuff that you look forward to seeing, and that's the thing that kills me. So
that means sort of the worst part about it is there's a perverse sort of I enjoy not giving the crowd what they want.
There is!
Because Vince,
it's to get the heat.
Pathologically knows what would make a crowd have a good time. And when he goes to Saudi Arabia and he knows that he's not coming back, and also this contract's really sweet, he's not going to try to push any buttons in Saudi Arabia.
Mansoor looked fantastic in this. This was a match that the Mansoor Ali match over-delivered in many, many ways. It got over the hometown hero. And then Ali gets the heat back, but in service of getting another hometown hero over again. The karate guy who took off his mask and everybody in the crowd knew who he was, even if I had no idea who that guy was. And that's
he took 10,000 years to get to the ring.
Yes,
that was one
that.
Of the longest walks to the ring I've seen.
Here's the note he got. Don't think you're rushing it, because if you think you're rushing it, you're not. You need to slow down. So he slowed down. But he slowed down to the Undertaker, Randy Orton type of pace. They could have played voices and he would have been down there in time. Yeah, and then of course they had to put Mansoor and Ali right back there. They're rematching almost an AJ against RK-Bro again on Raw. It's like, what are you, why do you do this to us? It's like, It's like, well, they made a lot of money. We gotta make them happy. It's like, hey, I paid a lot of money to go to WrestleMania, and you're still giving me ref bumps and screw jobs and all these other things. I think it over delivered. I'm not gonna overpraise it too much, but I think it definitely over delivered in the man, this is what I should watch when you're doing a 3-hour pay-per-view and it goes by as a breeze, and then you can end with some screw job stuff to set up a main focus for your shows, and everybody will forgive you for it because you didn't do it in the run up to the main event.
It was a perfectly fine show. Okay. You know, I don't love it. It's not like going to be like one of my all time favorite shows or anything like that.
I will forget it tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
It very likely. But if that was the quality of show that WWE was having on a regular basis, we would be having a different conversation about WWE on a week to week basis. That's all I'm saying.
Then we get to the next day in Wichita, which they gave you. Guys, we flew 19 hours all the way back from Saudi Arabia to come to this podunk town of Wichita, Kansas. They said that almost over and over again, downgrading Wichita over and over and over again. Guys, we came to friggin' Wichita. Wichita, 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 with that.
Oh, here's the thing. It's about time that someone came in and took Wichita down a peg.
Not Abilene?
They got to come in next, but Wichita has been out here. This chip on the shoulder. Like, they've done something. What they ever done? Lineman? Wichita lineman?
Who they ever beat?
Right, exactly.
But we get to a segment that everybody knew was preventable. If you had just had Bianca Belair beat Charlotte on Monday, have Sasha beat who has a belt? Oh, beat Becky.
Becky.
Have her beat Becky for the title, for the SmackDown title. Then we don't have to do this awkward segment, which at first I thought they were just corpsing because they were laughing. But no, there is some obvious heat there. And that has been confirmed by sources within the company to me personally that this segment went off the rails a bit because people were doing things that weren't planned on and calling things accidents that weren't exactly accidents. And let's put it this way. If Charlotte Flair is going to act out, something needs to be done with her, to be honest with you, because it was obvious to me that she was the one doing it. And I get that her boyfriend's no longer with the company. I get that her dad's no longer with the company. I get that she might not even be happy there anymore. She might not be happy doing wrestling anymore. She may want to go have a family, but she has a contract and she has to honor it. But apparently she was trying to do a cat and mouse thing with Becky. And there was an argument over whether Becky should be able to be Becky two belts for a second before giving the belt over. And look, do the thing as written. It doesn't matter. If you just script it where Sonya has both belts, gives one to the other, and they just kind of stare each other down, and then Sasha comes out, you have it solved. But instead, there's personal ego involved in worked title reigns. And this is the type of thing where talent would be buried from on high by guys like JBL and Booker T. And those types of people
this
behind
is like
the scenes.
One of the few times where one of those guys would be useful. It would actually be good to have a JBL or a Booker T or like one of those guys who oftentimes has obnoxious takes, because in this case, their old man take is absolutely right. Guys, these are not real titles. You did not actually like win the SmackDown world title, and the SmackDown world title means nothing. It is a prop on a television show.
You are actors.
You are actors doing stunts. Like this is everything.
She's trying to take my shine and show me
everything. At first, before we found out what we found out, at first I was reading this and I thought, oh, well, this has to be just like more working because there's no way that these grown-ass adults could possibly be so petulant and childish that they have gotten deluded to the point that they think that like the Raw title and the SmackDown title are titles that mean anything, let alone that swapping one for the other is somehow a downgrade of prestige.
But I want to be Becky Two Belts for a moment. I want to be the queen and I have 18 it's like, my God, you two. What is wrong with you two?
I don't want to be the Raw champion. That's a meaningless title. Yeah. I like being the SmackDown title.
It's got lineage.
Yes, a little bit of a lineage.
First time I watched this, I went, okay, the belt accidentally fell out when they were doing the cat and mouse thing, which apparently they weren't supposed to do. They weren't supposed to do the cat and mouse thing. It was something that Charlotte did on the fly, apparently. But when that happened and the belt flew out or whatever and then went down on the ground, I thought the two of them were corpsing. I thought they were laughing at it and was going out the rails, and then Vince was going to be furious when they went back. You ruined this segment because we were going to take this super serious, blah, 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 blah. But instead, I watched it back another time, and it's obvious Becky is just staring a hole in Charlotte and basically kind of asking Sonya, what the hell is this kind of thing? And there were some words exchanged in the back. Very interesting to me because the two of those two used to be very, very tight. And I could see this being a deal breaker over two phony titles and a ceremonial switch up. I watched this and you read the fallout and you know some of this is going to make TV in some way because they like doing that type of thing.
Well, okay, but here's the thing. That what is happening right now backstage is infinitely more interesting than anything that is happening on stage. So I kind of I'm rooting for that. I'm rooting for their bad impulses to kick in. Because
here's the bad impulse.
Bianca stinks. Sasha stinks. Yeah. Charlotte stinks. This Becky, I'm a heel, except that like nobody in the world acknowledges me as a heel character. And like they continue to write all the finishes for her as a heel and it doesn't matter. Crowds keep cheering her anyways.
Yes.
It all stinks. So if they turn this into whatever is happening backstage, I actually think it'll be a step in the right direction.
Here's
because
the
where
instinct.
They are is so bad.
You can't have the two of them work Survivor Series, which seems to me that this is the path that they want to take, is that Charlotte and Becky do Survivor Series, and meanwhile, Sasha probably takes the loss, which is a shame to Charlotte again, because that's all she does is lose to Charlotte, pretty much. I book Sasha Becky for Survivor Series, and I tell, but somebody else brought this up, and you also have to remember, I mean, Charlotte she got taken off of WrestleMania because of the medical thing. If you recall that, the incorrect COVID test that came back positive.
And to your point about Sasha, Sasha's probably still in the doghouse because of things.
Charlotte went nuts on Nia that one time in the ring. You recall that? There's a certain thing that has me a little worried about Charlotte's mental health here too. If she's taking these things this seriously, or if she's trying to get fired, I don't know.
And you do actually, to this point, kind of get worried potentially about WWE going, this is really interesting. And WWE in a certain voice going, this is really interesting.
Yeah.
Let's have a match, a no disqualification match between Becky and Charlotte and see let's just see where this goes.
Let's change the draft and bring Charlotte back to, we'll make a trade. We'll put Bianca back on SmackDown to
feud
with
Sasha.
Oh, the wild card. We have to change it again because it was the quarterly visitor pass or whatever they call it too.
Conjugal visit.
That we're gonna do whatever the hell we want and you people can eat it. That's what they should call this thing. Oh my goodness. It's just a cluster. It's like everybody's supposedly acting professional in some ways, and then you get this thrown in the mix and you're just like, what is going on? Stop being marks for yourself. They're fake titles, for God's sake. I get that it's important, but
this entire women's division, though, in WWE right now, between what the Queen's Crown tournament, the farce that it is, that you can watch it in a supercut that is under half an hour that includes the coronation ceremony. And
prestigious award, Chris. Come on.
Yeah, the four horsewomen who are really all of them are bathing themselves in glory right now, other than Bailey, who I guess is like sort of out of the mix at the moment, but like the three who are here are bathing themselves in glory. Bianca Belair is in limbo. Naomi, once a relevant figure, has been sort of beclowned by Sonya Deville, whose return was also completely wasted last week. I mean, like, WWE's women's division right now is back to Butterfly Belt era levels of bad.
In terms of character work, they're still good in the ring, some of them. They just don't get to show it. We got Toni Storm losing in under 2 minutes, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah, Toni Storm. Like, no, okay, it's a better, you're right. It is a better division talent-wise.
The characterization sucks.
Yeah, it's not like Oksana's wrestling here anymore. But, you know, look, you got Toni Storm, you got Oksana, who's better? Who's really to say?
I have PTSD now from the reference of Oksana. Which makes it a perfect segue for our other sponsor today, HelloFresh. Fall can be hectic, but HelloFresh's recipes save time you'd otherwise spend on meal prepping. Get it right. Grocery shopping and shopping, so you can focus on getting back into a new routine and spending quality time with the family. HelloFresh offers 50 menu and market items to choose from every week, including vegetarian, calorie smart, and gourmet options, providing plenty of variety. You also get better value. HelloFresh is over 30% cheaper than grocery stores, which are getting pricier by the day, with pre-portioned ingredients that ensure you won't spend money on excess food while also saving you a shopping trip. Now for me, when I cook, I usually get your choices of two or four people that you can get these meal plans for. I get it for two, that way I can have leftovers. But cooking and eating is a social type of event. I'd kind of like to do that again, but I'm antisocial for the most part. But I do like meal kits because I suck at measuring, Chris. I do. It's one of those things where it's like they give you the exact amount of the ingredients you should use, no more, no less. And it's one of those things where it's like I'll always put too much of something in there. So I do enjoy the HelloFresh experience.
Look, especially if you're learning how to cook.
Yes.
I think, and there is no shame, especially if you're someone in their early to mid 20s, or let's say like you're in your mid 30s and you're trying to learn how to cook. Like, this is not my situation, but like, look, if there's comes a point in your life where you want to learn how to cook, and yes, you can just pop on a cooking show and try your best to follow along with what the cooking show does. Okay, sure. But a service like this is convenient because you're getting everything brought to you, and it gives you the experience of sort of like doing some of these steps with some of the other in between steps taking care of you, so that you can get better at, let's say, doing, you know, the basics of using your skillet, for example, making sure that you're attentive to that, not necessarily worried about how thick did you cut all the peppers. That yes. can be a real pain in the butt, honestly. Like, you know, this, they know how thick to cut everything so that the cook times are evened out and everything. There's just a lot of guesswork that's removed. So if you're learning how to cook, it's a wonderful service.
This is the best thing for me. It's not just for meals. Their marketplace features a variety of snacks like this fall's pumpkin cinnamon rolls to get you in the mood for cozy season. That sounds amazing. But if you want this, go to HelloFresh.com/VOW14. That's VOW14, and use code VOW14. Or VOW14 for up to 14 free meals, including free shipping. Once again, that is HelloFresh.com/VOW14 and the code VOW14 for 14 meals, including free shipping.
I love cozy season. Don't you like cozy season? I like cozy season.
I don't get that in LA, though.
Yeah.
I don't, because it's
I feel like cozy season can be like a mindset,
though.
You get
a week
of fall
out here. Yeah, no, I like autumn on the East Coast. I like apple cider and donuts, and some people like pumpkin spice. I'm not into that thing, but yes.
So like, you could crank the AC and get like a hearthy candle and, you know, curl up with a bathrobe and drink cider.
Yeah.
And that's cozy season.
Yeah. Now I like
that's,
that.
That's your own little cozy
season. You get a little college football on the TV to remind you of fall. Yeah. I really do enjoy that. But With that, we now open up the lazy river of wrestling criticism. Any show you've watched, any match you've watched, any topic you wish to bring up, now is the time to do so on our trademarked now. Lazy river of wrestling criticism. Chris, the floor is yours for your first topic.
Oh, man. Where to begin? Okay, let's start with Rampage here. I just, right before we got on the air here, I watched Andre El Idolo versus Pac, and what a fantastic match this was.
Redeeming, isn't it, for old Andrade, I believe. This is the Andrade I wanted the entire time.
Yes, yes.
I dug this. I dug him and Pac. I really enjoyed that Rampage show, especially I really liked I did like the setup for Black and Rose tonight as well on that Rampage show. I thought it was really well done.
We'll talk about Dynamite in a second here.
I'm just talking setup, Chris.
No, I'm with you. Let's chonk them out. I think that the setup here was actually quite clever. They really, 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 really wanted this crowd to bite and go along with the story that they have not gone along with thus far of Cody is a babyface, Malakai Black is the heel. And having Malakai Black just opposed against Pac, a vulnerable Pac, no less, and showing up after Pac, you know, squeaks out this win and going after Pac, really good. It cued the crowd, boo Black, you don't like Black. And yes, this crowd has been, you know, babying Black a little bit here, but they weren't going to baby Black when he was going to beat down Pac. And then out comes Arn. Arn has the Glock thing going for himself now. he's more over here coming out of this feud than Cody is. We'll talk about Cody more in a bit here. And like, you got Arn, no one wants to see any harm come to Arn because like now that Arn did the Glock promo, like no one's going to remember like that. The rest of the promo was sort of like all over the place. People remember the Glock line. And people like the Glock line, and if Black had knocked out Arn, that would have been a boo Black moment as well. So you sort of put Black in like check from two different angles here, where you've got beating up Pac would be a boo Black moment, beating up Arn would be a boo Black moment. Now Cody, who without these two other checking pieces might be booed out of the building, comes in and makes the save, and Cody gets cheered. It works on Rampage. Does it work on Dynamite? More to come in just a bit on that. But I'm with you, Jeff. I thought that what they did on Rampage was about as good as you could possibly make it for this Cody and Malakai Black thing.
I think Pac and Andrade was really, really good. Let's go back to your first point there. I really dug this match quite a bit.
Oh, it was so good, right? Yeah. It was like stiff and high flying. Like it was
what I've wanted from these.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
All right. Mine. I'm going to go to the world of NXT 2.0 because I did eventually watch it.
But before we go there, was what you were kind of going for with the post match of Pac and Andrade and Malakai Black?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, cool.
But my thing is, I think the story here is that Andrade has quote unquote friends, but they're all people from his time in NXT, and they're not going to ever say it because we had FTR do his dirty work for him, and now we've had Malakai Black somehow involved with him. So I think that's a little interesting if they continue this.
I bet you Tony Nese is working with Andrade.
You have a little Miro possibly in there too. Nice, we'll get to in a second. I forgot that in the news, but yeah, Tony Nese appears to be part of AEW, and Buddy Murphy announced for New Japan, which I think is gonna be fire. I think that's the perfect place for him. I'm happy for him. But I'm gonna go to the magical, colorful world of NXT 2.0 because they are hyping.
It's going on you, baby.
No, it is not. But they're doing Halloween Havoc, which used to be one of my favorite pay-per-views ever, mostly because I have happy memories from my childhood of the debut of Doom, Butch Reed, and Ron Simmons. I watched this triple threat match between one Io Shirai. What's the other Australian woman's name? It's
Persia Parado.
Persia Parado and JC Jane. I watched JC Jane take a dive and take a header from that dive to the point where the East German judge even left and said, I'm not scoring this. East Germany used to be a country, kids. They used to have controversies at the Olympics where they'd always score Western nations lower than communist nations.
See, I think some of the best jokes have explainers at the end of them.
I realize East Germany, never heard of that. There was an East Germany. Was there a South Germany too, Hawkins? No, it was an East Germany. It was a communist country when I was a kid. They are on Tuesday. It's going to be Io Shirai, Zoe Stark, Persia Parada, Indy Hartwell, JC Jane, and what's her corporate name now? The redhead?
Not Gacy. Allen. Gigi Dolan.
Gigi Dolan are going to be on ladders for tag team titles. And
JC Jane still in that match?
She is apparently okay, but I don't know if she's still in that match. But let's state the obvious. To quote the great Whoopi Goldberg in what I believe was an Academy Award winning performance in the movie Ghost, "Ew, you in danger, girl." I would rather watch Io Shirai and five baby giraffes try and go into a ladder match to do this. She's going to be fine. These other five, somebody may die in this match.
Okay, Chris, like Persia Parada. I haven't used the C word in a minute.
What C word are we talking about?
We're talking about clunky. I have not said clunky in a hot minute here. And I realized when I was watching, but boy, if clunky was going to have a 2021 picture update in the ring here, it's Persia Parada. I get that she was a bit lost after what happened to JC Jane. That being said, she had like the length of a short business meeting during the commercial break while in a Campbell
Zoom call. She had
they all but sent her like memorized documents from Vince himself.
Grab a headlock.
to explain the finish of this match to her, which should be fairly academic.
What's the finish?
Yeah.
I forgot because I think she was supposed to take the pin. Now on page three.
What are we gonna do, Io? How does this work? Yeah.
And Io doesn't speak that great of English, from what I remember too. So she's just there, just both in there, just
mouth agape while they've got this camel clutch on. even before that, Persia Parada was not exactly lighting the world on fire with her athleticism and flexibility and dynamic ability to be coordinated inside of the ring. JC Jane, I hope that she is well, because I really like JC Jane. And even in this match, it was like her and Io sort of like at one level, and then Persia Parada down at this other level. And when JC Jane went down, I was like, oh God, it's bad because she's out of all the prospects here, I think the only prospect. I don't want to see anything, bad happen to JC Jane. It's a shame.
Well, it goes back to what we said last week, talking about how we stop the choreography, stop the dives. Not everybody has to do a dive, kick, punch, work a limb. I don't want to see women of this, and let's be generous here, because Indy Hartwell doesn't have a lot of time in country either, who don't have that much experience. Now we're bringing ladders into it. Now, it's one thing if they were doing a match that happened to have a ladder in it, but we know WWE doesn't do that. These are set pieces involving ladders and stunts and people jumping off of them, and they're already... Their legs are more unstable than most of the women that are going to be on them. And they don't have a lot of balance to them either. There are problems with some of them running straight, for God's sakes. Io is going to fly off these things and they're going to catch her, hopefully. And hopefully that's going to be it, because I am worried for some of these women if they are going to take bumps off of a ladder.
Like, no, for real, like Persia Parada has no business being on a ladder at this point with her ring footwork. I'm with you, Jeff. I'm always a little hesitant to actually like grade too tough on performance because
I don't know anything. I don't know about it.
You know, if it's guitar, I can talk. If it's wrestling, I can't. Yes. But I can tell someone's foot performance is better than someone else's foot performance, and I mean, I've got eyes. I see what I see here.
All right, your turn on the Lazy River, kid.
Ikeman Jiro continues to light the world on fire on a weekly basis.
You did not use one of your turns for Ikeman Jiro.
No, he gets Kushida back. You gotta love the bathroom humor that they brought during the promo here, where you see they're zany because they're from out of the country. And so that's why Ikeman Jiro walked up on Kushida while he was in the bathroom and just started talking to him because they're zany.
Chris, the only thing you were allowed to bring up from NXT 2.0 really was the Creed Brothers versus Imperium, which was a match that I adored. I want this as a best of 37 because the Creed Brothers come off as very 1989 Varsity Club to me quite a bit. And I love that. And I just love the Euro trash snottiness of Imperium.
No, that was like I when the show opened up with this, I was ranting at the notorious no-show Cody about how if I was booking NXT, I would have like these sorts of matches on this brand right now, and Imperium and the Creed Brothers is one of them, and it basically lived up to what my expectations were. I mean, obviously this didn't, you know, this wasn't like a main event level match or whatever, but I really enjoyed this match. And then out come MSK and they get booed because they stink. Because they blindside Imperium.
Have you heard the another issue with MSK?
And what?
Apparently Izzy's parents are encouraging booing of MSK because one of them told Izzy not to train at such a young age or whatever. And so I think your reason is far more palatable because they're just annoying on the show, but
they also blindside Imperium.
All know each other too. So I would not put it past anybody to go, hey, they picked on our Izzy. We're going to boo MSK.
No, for sure. But like, I mean, again, you know, this is the peril of doing a show in basically one location over and over again. If the crowd really turns on MSK, they're going to have to turn MSK. And they should because they're annoying.
I will go. I know you have a rant in you, so I will leave Cody to you. The other Cody, not no show Cody.
Don't even get me started about that. I got rants. I got rants.
That's part of the STR expanded universe. We're not going to talk about that. Yeah. I loved Bryan Danielson versus Dustin Rhodes. Once it got past the first couple minutes, Dustin Rhodes looked old to me, looked slow. And then somewhere this just became two mean competitors taking a title competitions, a title eliminator tournament seriously, with Dustin yelling at him, both of them just smacking the hell out of each other. The ending sequence really was fire to me. And I loved the second half of this match being a David and Goliath story where he's just chopping down the giant until he gets his own level, gets a body scissors on him. Another finisher in the works, if you ever want to end it for him in there. After the first couple minutes, which I thought, oh God, this is going to die a death, I really came to really love this match quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm with you on basically all of those takes. I did think that Dustin needed some help to get some pep in his step. Once again, Bryan Danielson works his Bryan Danielson magic and elevates the other person he's in the ring. Mm-hmm. Dustin, especially on this night, Dustin Rhodes in there with a person less engaged, not ready to go, not ready to elevate someone else, would have found Dustin Rhodes a tough person to work with on that. Danielson, on the other hand, is able to spirit up the other dude, he's just like, he's such a good wrestler. I yes. gush about him all the time, but like this run that he's doing right now is so illustrative.
Every time I talk about Dustin, I feel guilty for dismissing him in the late 80s, early 90s, because it's always one of those things where it's like, I don't see much in him. He's Dusty's kid. Okay, he's okay, but he's working with great guys like Rick Rude, and he's teaming with Barry, and he's teaming with
okay,
Steamboat.
Dustin always had like this really boring character too. So yes. like yeah, but I'm talking about, I mean, that's the other thing with Dustin. Dustin in the last 10 years of his career, I mean, no, it's like you have to reassess this guy as a yes. as a true talented guy too. But Brian Danielson, dude. I mean, like, I gush about him all the time. It just, every match that he has, it's another different way of yes. exhibiting his ability to elevate the people that he works with at this just like superior level.
It's almost like he's taking criticisms of his work previously in the WWE and go, or where people, not his criticisms of him, but, well, you can't do this in a professional wrestling match because people will get bored by it. Like the Vince-isms. And he's going to go, okay, I'm going to show you I can do this. And I'll show you how good this can be. And this one was a lot like, well, you can't work this harder style with this older guy or whatever it was. I don't know what he was trying to prove here, but I like that he's a little more focused. I like that he was only playing to the crowd right before they started the match. Didn't do it the rest of the time. The rest of the time, he was just focused in a badass. And I like this buzzsaw Bryan Danielson type of character.
I'm up here. I'll give you a twofer here. O'Reilly and Von Wagner continue to have like negative charisma.
What are you doing?
What am I doing?
Why are we bringing those guys up again?
Okay, I'm doing the lazy.
I'm on shake the ropes.
I'm trying to be your friend. That's
no,
what
I think
I'm
you're trolling me because you know
I'm not troll. No.
You know how upset I am that Wayne Bloom's kid has not a Wayne Bloom's charisma.
I do know how
Kyle
upset
O'Reilly
you are about
is
that.
The Kyle O'Reilly is the charismatic one of these two, and that's saying something.
This was just yet another fun skit. I mean, who doesn't love getting suited up to go bike riding, only to be told we're not going to use any of the bike riding gear that you are wearing or have brought along with you, but you will still need to carry it with you throughout the course of this day. That's fun and funny. Similarly, another level of dynamic charisma is Joe Gacy and his new person, who I'm just going to refer to as Snowflake.
Harlan.
Snowflake is good. I think that what needs to happen is that Joe Gacy needs to feud with the beer guys, the two dudes who like to drink beer and fight.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I think that's ultimately where it's going to go. I was thinking, though, that Joe Gacy, like this gimmick, which sucks, and I basically think it's like ill-advised and ill-conceived. If you were going to do this, wouldn't it be better to have like Joe Gacy basically out there and talking about, like, if we're looking for a political buzzword, civility? Like, isn't like the perfect political buzzword of the moment that like ports into a wrestling world, like sort of ironically, the idea of civility? Like having this like heel guy coming out there talking about civility and not safe spaces, but like civility in a world where like things are routinely solved by like chair shots and ladder matches. like isn't that like where the, again, this would not be a thing I'd write, but if we were doing that, wouldn't that be what we would be doing?
Yes.
Yeah. Those are my two thoughts. Joe Gacy still stinks, and Von Wagner and Kyle O'Reilly are the buddy comedy no one asked for.
Since I'm leaving Cody to you to start with, I'll just put one more thing in here. I thought on NXT UK, Jordan Devlin and Joe Coffey was a lot of fun to watch. Nice heel versus semi-heel match. Devlin getting the upper hand on it, but I'm liking that what they're doing with the Gallus boys still in here is kind of a weird they're heels, but they're only heels that are in it for themselves. They're not being outwardly evil. They're just self-involved. But Devlin and Coffee put on a pretty good show on NXT UK. That's worth a watch if you want to watch it.
All right, I've got to sit back here. You can put it on mute. I got a few minutes on Madcap Moss next.
Well, you're going to Cody and you're going to Madcap Moss. Look, here's okay. I will give you my quick thoughts if you're actually going to do this.
No.
Xavier Woods is losing this King of the Ring back to Baron Corbin. And Madcap Moss, this is Andrew Rich's thing, and it blew my mind when he told me this. Friend of the show, Andrew Rich. King Corbin and his jester, Madcap Moss. It's coming. Just be ready for it. That's all I'm going to say. I have not been told by the company that this is going to happen, but I can feel it. It feels right to me.
Yeah, I could see that. Like old King Corbin. But I was actually going to talk to you about Hit Row.
Okay.
Hit Row. I think first we got to give it up for Top Dollar. Top Dollar.
Why?
He understands the game that is being played here these days.
Do tell.
He gets social media. And he gets that the audience here in WWE is an audience of one. And that, like, this whole little thing where he was skirmishing with AEW and being a good little soldier for WWE, this, I think, based on some of the background reporting that we have seen this week here, looks like it portends well for Top Dollar getting himself a push, which is good because, like, right now WWE has a lot of big dudes.
Let me add some context to what you just said there. Reports coming out of WWE, the rumor is that Hit Row, the focus of Hit Row will be Top Dollar as a single star with Swerve Scott and Ashanti the Adonis as a tag team.
Yeah. And
what?
I think it's baffling. But at the same time, I think Top Dollar convinced Vince that he's going to be a good soldier and that there's something there. And he needed to do that because, look, I think Braun Strowman, for all these big dudes, needs to serve as this cautionary tale that, like, you could do well, but, like, very quickly fall out of favor with Vince. And like, especially now that Vince is trying to find the next great big dude.
Well, it was after 4 years. It wasn't like he fell out of favor, like, all of a sudden.
But, like, when he finally fell out of favor, he fell out of favor really quick.
Yeah.
When the deep push of Strowman was...
is amazing. It's amazing.
Looking back, it's actually quite stark how quickly and thoroughly they de-pushed the guy. What? Going. Oh, yeah.
I want to see if he showed up on Bound for Glory tonight.
Oh, for sure. But yeah, like I think that Top Dollar, I mean, here's the thing. Top Dollar is going to get a push he's not ready for. So this might be a monkey's paw, be careful what you wish for thing, where Top Dollar, yeah, like, okay, you're going to get the singles push. And then people are going to realize that the Top Dollar match can only go about 5.5 minutes. And Top Dollar, please prove me wrong, like, that you can have a singles match that can, like, actually do an honest to God 6 minutes at this point. I don't think you can.
I have nothing else, so let's talk Cody and then wrap this up.
Okay. What I mean, was there anything else you liked on the Dynamite show here tonight?
I liked a lot on the Dynamite show.
You did Danielson.
I liked FTR's promo. I thought it got them a little bit back serious, and I liked the response from Penta and Alex Abrahantes, who I tend to be down on, but I thought he gave a nice little fire. Oh, and this one's coming from Alex type of thing. I thought that was well done. I thought the MJF promo was really well done as well. I'm not as high on the Sean Spears Wardlow thing, but it was well done in terms of the comedic aspect of the accountability. That MJF finally had a promo that didn't do a lot of wink, wink, nudge, nudge per se. It was kind of, he's still a douchebag. He's still the biggest jerk in AEW, which he should be. And it did quite well for himself. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, you know what? Anna Jay. I wanted to, this is a quickie before we get into Cody. I liked the Anna Jay and Britt Baker match. I think, like, look, dude, Britt's a good wrestler. Anna Jay has come a long way, like, in her character work and in her charisma. Like, look, she's a legitimate talent. I don't think the Rebel and Jamie Hayter meddle a little bit on the outside, thus giving Britt Baker an upper hand, is enough of a protecting sort of loss for Anna Jay or really anyone else. I think, like, it's hard to look at that type of match as an elevating performance for the type of person, for the person who's in it.
I don't think she needs to be elevated yet, though. I think she's going to be elevated after this Tay Conti match, probably, and then lose, and then they go on to Thunder Rosa.
Maybe so.
But I don't think they're belting Tay Conti.
No, I don't think they're belting Tay Conti.
What was the thing I did not like? Oh, the Sammy Guevara doing Chris Jericho circa 2000 promo. Who cares if Sammy has to leave the inner circle? He's already had to leave the inner circle. We've seen that story before. Who does he pick for American Top Team? I think the swerve here is it's going to be Junior Dos Santos. It's probably going to be Masvidal, but Masvidal is not going to be able to take any bumps. So he's only going to be able to give one bump because he has a fight coming up in December. I think he's going to pick Paige Van Zandt to be on the team because they've been bringing her up in promos so damn much, even though there's no woman in the inner circle. And I think the idea has been brought up on the other show I do that if the inner circle wins and Jericho gets 5 minutes with Dan Lambert, I like the old schoolness of this, as opposed to having Dan Lambert in the actual match. But there's no drama in whether Sammy leaves the inner circle because we've seen it before. I think the inner circle should have been broken up after Blood and Guts, to be honest with you. But yes, look, this show's already long. Let's get into Cody and get out of here.
Well, they say AEW doesn't do rematches like WWE does, but, like, I look at the inner circle and, like, this is the feud that
it's the feud that won't die.
Yes, or like, it's
a story that won't die. Is the inner circle together?
Right,
or are they not?
Right. You change who the villain is, but, like, the actual story is the exact same story.
It's
over
a can
and
they
over.
Coexist story in some ways too, which we don't like. In Canny likes them. I don't.
No. Yeah. Canny does like that kind of stuff. I don't care for that. All right. So Cody and Malakai Black.
Yes.
Okay, what did you think of the match itself before we get into, like, I don't know, the reception of the match?
I thought, other than the Arn Anderson weirdly getting into the ring stuff, and the very disturbing chant of "Get the Glock," which I guess is now... This match brought to you by the NRA.
We are getting ever closer to my dream of a gun match.
Of a gun on a pole match. That's what we need for wrestling. I thought, other than that clunky thing, I thought the match was pretty good. The ending sequence for me, man, if this crowd is crapping on Cody as a babyface now, which is interesting, and they're going to continue with this booking of him as a babyface, I might have called an audible and asked him to do a pedigree instead of the Tiger Driver 98. I think that would have gotten fans incensed if they were actually going to pull the trigger on a heel turn. I was surprised that Cody won. I'm going to be honest with you. I was surprised that Cody won, not only because of the reaction from the crowd, but it seemed to me the natural thing to do would be on that second crossroads. Aleister Black finds a way out of it, hits his dark mask kick or whatever it is. 1, 2, 3. I didn't expect a clean like this loss to Aleister Black this early. I thought it'd be in his title match, and then we can beat him in other places. I'd love to tell you, wait to see how it plays out. I don't know how it plays out, though, unless we're getting some sort of stable with Aleister Black or Malakai Black. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, if anything, it looks like Aleister Black is getting moved on to associations with Andrade. Like, we've actually already got the first page of the next chapter of the Malakai Black storyline here, yeah, which is I'm going to be associated with Andrade, and not maybe move down the card, but maybe moved to another part of the card. This appeared to have a lot of finality in terms of like this. This was the end of the Cody storyline, and I thought it damaged in a way. And I think it's very interesting that Cody won on a Tiger Driver. Because, yes, okay, the Tiger Driver does use the double underhook butterfly as the setup, sure.
When the hell has he ever used a Tiger Driver?
Right, and there is that one moment. There is that one moment where he's holding it, and he's holding it Hunter style.
Yes.
And I was seeing that, and I was like, oh, man, if he wins, he's going to win on a pedigree? Because that would bury Black. It was interesting and almost sort of weirdly literary that Cody, you know, doesn't quite do a pedigree, but like effectively in pinning Malakai Black off of what is not even his finisher.
Let me add on to your literary thing. Remember all the symbolism of him taking the sledgehammer to the throne and all these other things? And now it seems a lot of the criticism of Cody is very Hunter adjacent. Do you think that's right in some ways? There's a lot of, it's because he's, of who he's married to and because he's a vice president of the company and that's why he's getting pushed. And
well, I also think he's working a more boring match than he did like 5 to 7 years ago.
I agree. I think it's very patterned. It's a little WWE with some blading in it, because he loves to blade in his matches.
That's the other thing. The blading does nothing for me, especially the way he does it, because it's so obvious. And yes, like it just never feels earned, and it never looks great. I get that your dad liked to blade, and so like you kind of want to keep the tradition alive. I mean, that's cool.
But back to the bigger point, what's the end game here? Because I don't get it. Because is Cody going to be elevated to something? Because it would have to be a TNT.
This didn't make people love Cody at the end of it. People don't want it. Should be the end goal of a babyface wins storyline.
It's inexplicable.
Should be the babyface is more beloved.
It's inexplicable to me a bit. I get it. I don't understand. It's Orlando, so maybe that has something to do with it. But I don't understand. I get there's a certain Twitter crew that doesn't like Cody, and I don't know if it's insufficient wokeness, but it feels like it at times. They both run their mouth way too much on Twitter sometimes and say dumb things. Don't get me wrong. But this love alone.
I mean, Jeff, the man,
he has
like a neck tattoo that is horrible. Cody Rhodes just sort of like, he attracts some heat.
But I think this is weird, because I think people really, I'm not as big a fan of Malakai Black as others, but I think people really want to cheer for him and they want him to see him succeed. And I think it's more that than hatred of Cody, but hatred of Cody has now become a byproduct of this because Cody chose to work a feud with him. And
work a feud and go over in the feud too. Like,
yes,
style brother. Because Malakai Black also, I think he was received really well, and people when he came over here were really excited to see him. He was a really nice surprise. He was launched really well in AEW, and he turned in some good matches too. He's got a great entrance. He's got swagger, and like it was so nice to see him used correctly after seeing him used so stupidly months prior. Everyone was rooting for him to have a successful launch. People were sort of like tentatively willing to go along with the heel thing because they want Malakai Black to succeed. But I just, at the end of this, I have this like Hogan sort of vibe too, where it's like, Hogan would work with like a guy like Mr. Perfect or Ted DiBiase or, these monster of a few earthquake. And after they get done with them, like those guys were never able to really scratch around at the top of the card ever again. That was their one little scrape at the top of the card. And I think if that is the case, they've really missed the trolley here with a Mondo babyface push of Malakai Black, because I'm telling you that AEW audience would eat up Malakai Black tormenting the Super Click. Absolutely 100% would be going, as Gorilla Monsoon would say, going bananas for Malakai Black appearing out of the darkness like Sting style and kicking the head off of Kenny Omega and Brandon Cutler, and there's cold spray going everywhere, and Michael Nakazawa and his lanyard. Like people want to cheer Malakai Black. They want him to be a babyface. But beyond wanting him to be a babyface, they want this guy at the top of the card. Mm-hmm. They don't want him as some associate of Andrade. They view Malakai Black as a higher end piece of real estate than Andrade. And he should be treated and pushed as that way. So this is real malpractice. I don't know the politics of why or how or what, but like Malakai Black should be cruising to a match with Kenny Omega. And like right now, actually what we should probably be building to is like Brian Danielson versus Malakai Black versus some other versus Adam Page.
Right.
A triple threat for the number one contendership for the title for Kenny Omega, because those are the three hottest kind of single stars that I can kind of think of off the top of my head. And three natural fits or great chases for Kenny Omega.
But they're doing that separately. They got Page, who already won the ladder match. They have Danielson's probably winning this tournament. I think there's going to be a, it's weird going into the tournament tonight. I thought Lance Archer and we're going to have a nice knockdown drag, but it looks like Archer concussed himself a bit and they called it on the fly. I don't believe Kingston and Danielson was the plan there. And then you could have built up Malakai Black over here in this world, beating Cody and elevating himself here. So you had those three contender type of stories going already without putting them all together in there.
Yeah, I guess you could have a convergence thing happen at some point too down the line. It's not precluded. Okay, I'm with you on this. But I still don't get, even if we're doing that, I don't get how having Malakai Black lose to Cody Rhodes here is the right move.
I don't understand it either. It's baffling to me, to be honest with you. But where's Canny?
Let's just see where it goes.
Yeah, let's see how it plays out. Get your line right, you dumb can.
I write the lines.
Oh, okay. We'll have time for your stand-up next week. I'm going to close the lazy river. How about that? Sound good to you?
Oh, okay, fine.
Or do you have anything else?
No. Get out of your little tube. Remove your six packs. Please do, like, don't leave a trace. Leave no trace. It's code of nature.
This has been Shake Them Ropes. Thank you to our sponsors, MyBookie. Use code ROPES. That's our code, Chris and I code, R-O-P-E-S. Get double your
first deposit. We're sharing that with you. It's cool. We're doing that. It's called ROPES. It's shared.
Up
you
to $1,000 and also HelloFresh/VOW14 and then use code VOW14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. You can follow me at CrapGame13. You can follow Chris at DWATG. You can just follow the show at Shake Them Ropes, all one word. We are currently part of the Voices of Wrestling Network. You can watch the show if you want to see us give dirty looks to each other at youtube.com/voices of wrestling. Chris also has a Patreon where he talks politics. That's where DWATG comes from. It stands for Don't Worry About the Government.
Dwatka can be found at patreon.com/Dwatka. That's DWATG. It stands for Dwatka. You can get on don'tworry.tv. Interesting title for the show, Dwatka. You can check out Don't Worry About the Government there. Go on iTunes, search for Don't Worry About the Government. That's the long form acronymic version of Dwatka. You can get on YouTube and you can see it as well. Recently, I had on historian Bruce Carlson. We had an hour and 45 minute conversation, some of which was about us being old men in the world of podcasting and kind of how the industry has changed. Dude, like, he and I have been doing it a long time. And, like, it's just
the notion that if you're old.
Well, like, look, podcasting is not that old. And when you've been doing it 10 years, that is a long time.
That's true.
It is. Yeah, like that is a long time. I've had guests on and they're like, well, how long have you been doing this? I'm like, hey, you know, and I'll say however long it is. And they'll be like, oh, whoa, wow. No, it is. It's just because it's not that long of a medium. Not that I'm old, but, well, Cody would maybe disagree, but who cares what he thinks. Anyways, I had Bruce Carlson on. That was cool. All right. I guess we can close out the show here, but Kenny wants to at least do one of his jokes. Like
that's all the time we have. We'll see you next week.
Hey Jeff. All right. This is thanks. First of all, great to be back on Shake Them Ropes again. Always great to see you. Tremendous host here on the show.
Better be all a right. good closer. Okay, better close strong.
Hey, this is a wrestling show, right, Jeff?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. What's a wrestler's favorite type of gun?
What?
A Lex Luger.
We'll see you next week.